We're going to start at the bottom of Samach Hamad Bet. Mentioned that Metziyat Isha was the Atma, that her, whatever she finds, is hers. Tani Tekka made the Rova, Metziyat Isha the Atma, Rabbi Akiva Omer the Badla. Right, that the what a woman finds is her own. Rabbi Akiva believes, no, it's for her husband. Amale Hashtu Mahadofa Demasiya Deha, he. Amar Akiva the Atzma, Mitziat the Lokosha came. We know that Rabbi Akiva's opinion is what? That when she has extra output, extra yadayim, that it goes to her. It's not. We had the Mishnah early on about when he takes a neder. Konim Shani Oselapicho. When she takes a neder, now to produce for him, Einu Tzorich Lahafer. He doesn't have to be mefer. Why? Because it doesn't take hold. She's obligated to him. He has a lien on her output, and she therefore doesn't have to be mefer. Kibo mer yefer. He still has to do hafara. Why is nalfayet shema ta'adi falav yoter min aroy lo? Maybe she'll give him more than he's entitled to from her, more than her obligation to him. So you see from this that what? That Rabbi Kibo believes that her excess output, her excess masayadayim, belong to her. So if her excess masayadayim belong to her, then certainly her mitziah, finding something, is going to belong to her. So Ella Ipuch, you have to change around the opinions here and say what? Tia Sayisha the Bala. That the Tanakhama believes that what a woman finds goes to her husband. Kiva Omer, the Atma. Kiva believes it goes to herself. She keeps it, which would be in consonance with what he said, that the excess, Masayadaim, goes to the woman. Vaha Kiata Rabin Amar Rabbi Yochanan Badafa Shloide Dechak. Kuli Amalo Plige. If it's what? The Balhavi, that if it's extra output that she does, not by pressing herself, but just in the normal course of, you know, her working, that all belongs to the husband. Keep lige, when they argue, is b'hadafa shayde dachak, where if she pushed herself and she really put in more output. So by pushing herself, creating more output, she really did made an extra effort on her own behalf, and therefore maybe it should belong to her. And that's machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Tanakhama. But if that's the case, then what? Then it's really not a comparable case. Matias Aisha, that's not something that comes, right, with unusual effort. That's just, she bumped into it, right? So if Rabbi Akiva was only going to say it belongs to her when she makes an extraordinary effort, why would you consider this Matias as an extraordinary effort? So Tana Kama Sober Labalo. Tana Kama believes when she makes this extra effort, it belongs to her husband still. Rabbi Akiva Sober Latzma, that goes to herself. So Amar Papa will solve the problem because Mitziyata ke Adafa Shadei Dechak Tami. Right, we thought what that a Mitziyah finding something is like a regular output for her. No, Rabbi Papa says no, that finding a Mitziyah is something that takes extra effort. What does that mean, it takes extra effort? So that's what Rashi says. That Hotziyah, if you look in the Rashi, Mitziyata ke Adafa Shadei Dechak, right, it's next to that Gosabach. Right, the rov mitziot tzorach lachak zerachayim. Most things, when they're lost, you have to go look for them. You have to go find them. So it's like she's walking around on the beach with one of the metal detectors. Right, that's the type of mitziot. But talking about kagon dagim shenisharu biyabasho, that fish that were left after the fishermen brought their nets up and they left something there. Oh, tzvi shavur, or she found a limping, tzvi, usually, which is wild, a deer that's wild, and she happened to find one that's injured, and they can shecht it. Oh. Kape sima bakarko, or find something in the ground. So this is we're talking about a mitziah where she's finding something that's not in the ordinary course, but rather something that's extraordinary, and therefore it would match with her extraordinary output. So plukta verabi akiva verabonon. Right. So that would be therefore since it's what like hadavish de dechak, it would match up with the machlokas verabi akiva ban. So bayra papa asta lo shtayim bevat achat. What happens if a woman is multi-talented? She's able to do two types of work at the same time. She can multitask. She can multitask. Then what is her husband entitled to, and what is she entitled to? Maybe her regular output is her husband's, right? But the excess output that she makes means that the other multitasking that she does, the other tasks that she does, will belong to her. Or do we say no, that the time that she works for her husband, that belongs to her husband. Anything she produces during that time would be hers, right? Same, similar type of thing for lawyers, maybe. If they're hired by one client and they have to fly somewhere on that client's time, they're getting paid by the other client, by the client to fly somewhere, and then they do work for another client while they're flying. Can they charge to both clients? Meaning that is that time then belongs solely to the client that's paying for them to fly there, or his expectations is to fly there. What he does with that time is not necessarily, right, the person who's paying for him's belong to him, belongs to that person. So mahu, so by Ravina, shlosho dalav b'vat achas mal. What happens if she's able to do three or four jobs at once? The Gemara loses is a teku, who that belongs to. Now, I don't know if the additional question is, well, two, maybe that's normal, but three or four, is that considered ayudei techak already? Because that's so unusual, that's considered extraordinary, and that would go with regular ayudei techak. Or it's just an expansion on the same question, just a more pointed view, is meaning she's doing three or four. You know, what's the case there? So if you look in Rashi, what are the three or four jobs she can do at once? So one is shomeret kishuim. She's watching the crops, meaning that she's guarding the zucchinis, the gourds that are coming up. V'tovev pishtan. She's spinning linen, right? So she's twining linen. U'melamedet shir l'nashim. She's at the same time she's teaching the women to sing skar. U'memacham. So now she gets to four. U'mechamemet beitzim b'chika. And she's warming up eggs in her lap. Right, oh, beitzei toloi ma'usim meshi, right, some sort of inchworm or silkworm. So she's warming up the eggs of the of those that spin that make silk. So nashim mechamot otam mechakam v'hem nutzrim, and that's how they're created. So here's this woman who's doing all these wonderful multitasking at once, and what's her entitlement to her ability to multitask? Right, we consider that all part of the bowels time, or does that now become something where the excess is hers? Alright, so now we said that what her boshes and begam, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Teira, depends, is split up between her and her husband depending on where the injury was, right? If it was an exposed injury, then the husband gets 2/3. If it's an injury that's, you know, covered, then the husband only gets 1/3 and she gets the remaining. So matkufla rabba v'chana, l'miyata b'ayish susato shel chaviru achanami d'bay l'meitan lei. Boshes, right? So if you, meaning that here, if we're looking at the woman as quote unquote the property of the husband, meaning that if you embarrass this woman, that the embarrassment is not solely to the woman, but also to her husband, right? Then when you embarrass his property in other ways, like a horse, then he should also be entitled to boshes. Alright, so Gemara says, Vesus bar boshes who? I mean, what's the equation here? Meaning that his wife is a human being and she can be embarrassed. Right? So her embarrassment is partially belongs to him and partially belongs to her. But a horse, we never get off the ground because a horse does not get embarrassed. Right? So again, the entitlement to his wife's boshes is only if she would be a bar boshes. Meaning that since she collects boshes, her husband then too collects a portion of it. But if she were to not collect any boshes, there's no way her husband could come and collect the boshes. So the Gemara says, no, we have to compare it to this. Because Ela rokok bebigdo shel chavero. Achanami deboy demeitan leboshes. If you spit, if a person spits, one spits on his friend's clothing, that should entitle him to boshes. Again, we're trying to talk about property. Right? So his clothing is not him, but rather his property. And right there you can generate boshes, you can generate embarrassment. But so he should be then entitled to boshes for spitting on his beggar. So Alchanami Elarokh Bigdosh Clear, Alchanami divide the maintenance boshes, you also have to pay boshes. If you say yeah, then we do pay boshes when you spit on the clothing, but that's not. We have a Mishnah. Rokok vihigia boarok, if he spits and the spit hits him, Upara Rosha Isha, or he uncovers the hair of a woman, Vebar Zalito Mimenu, or he rips off someone's clothing. Chayev litein lo arba meil zuz. He has to pay out 400 zuz for that embarrassment. V'amar Rapapa, and Rapapa qualifies that Mishnah. Lo shano elo bo. That's only if the spit reaches him. It falls on his body. Avav bigdo potter. But if it falls on his beged, then he's potter. So again, the Gemara says, bigdo leis lezi luso. If the spit lands on his beged, that's not a, what, I don't know how you say, it's not such a degrading thing, because it's his clothing. Because his clothing is, it can be washed, it can be taken away. Ishto is lazy lusa. When his wife is embarrassed, when his wife has been degraded, that has a direct impact on him, right? So Amalei Ravina. So now we have to find another comparable case. Le Ravashi elamiata bayish ani ben tovim. What happens if you embarrass a poor person who is from a family of wealthy individuals. So why is it here? The poor person himself may not be embarrassed because of his stature, right? His low stature. But because the rest of the family is wealthy, the impact of embarrassing their relative who's an ani is degrading to them as a family. Now, why is this any different? I mean, why couldn't you ask the question by anybody? Even if a rich family, if one of the people is embarrassed, so the rest of the family is embarrassed by that. Or so the Tosafot suggests over here that there's a difference, because when you have a poor person among a wealthy family, the poor person is the responsibility of that family, meaning that people expect them to take care of that relative who's poor because they have the means with which to do it. So therefore, if someone embarrasses that ani, or hits them or does something to them, it's pogeya in their kavod, because what? It shows a lack of responsibility on their part. They're not doing their job. They're not taking care of the zani. Whereas if you have a family of where everybody's, you know, say wealthy, or everybody's at the same stature, then when one is embarrassed, the other is embarrassed because they don't feel obligated to take care of that individual. Right? So you have an ani ben tovim, right before the Mishnah. The islei ziluso. Right? So there you have ziluso. Now we created a bro. You have a human being. You have boshes. But the boshes, right, it should be the kulu b'nei mishpocha. The rest of the family should get paid boshes, even though this individual would not collect boshes. Right? So achanami, divay lamitin lo, the boshes, the kulu b'nei mishpocha. Right? You should have to give it to the whole family. There it's not their body, meaning that when you explain boshes means that I've been directly impacted, I've been directly embarrassed, right? So it has to be something that has to do with me, right? And almost here to undo everything that we've said before, his wife is an extension of himself, right? That has to be, right? So almost now the opposite of how we started out, it almost was they're comparing his wife to his other property, like his sus, right? And that's why we're saying, oh, the boshes, someone embarrassed his wife, he has entitlement. It's like Nezek, you hurt somebody's shore, you have to pay for the shore. Here, you embarrass his wife, you got to pay him the boshes. Right? That was the Gemara's avami, that's the way the Gemara started. And the Gemara transitions over time to realize that boshes, right, or not really, but to show that boshes is only something that is unique or appropriate to a person themselves, to a human being. Right? There's only zilusa or boshes when you're dealing with the human person themselves, not with their property. And then secondly, even to a more extreme, that we only, boshes, that we ask for reparations for is only when, what? You embarrass the individual themselves. You can't say someone's embarrassed for someone else, that entitles them to, you know, reparations or to compensation. And so then we've now switched to say, okay, so then why does he get compensation on his wife? It's because his wife, ishto kegufo domi. It's almost to the opposite extreme now. We're reviewing his wife. Wife is, of course, a human being, so she has boshes. But to the extent that, what? That he's entitled to compensation because his wife is so close to him, is such an extension of himself, rather than his property. So we've almost come to almost the exact opposite now, reviewing his wife as ishto kegufo domi. All right. New Mishnah. All right. A posek ma'os lechotno. Right? So he... You know, he said, I'm going to give a certain amount of money to this son-in-law, right? His new son-in-law. He says, you know, I'm giving a dowry, a large dowry to his son-in-law. Umeis chodno, right? And then his son-in-law passes away. Amru chacham yom hulu shu mar achicha iti votu litein v'lachol iaf shi litein. Right? That, yes, if you do, now do. If he's a shomer, it's yibum now. She's entitled to yibum. She is up for yibum because her husband passed away. It's got to be from a rusin. Right, so therefore, Nisuin was not completed already. Therefore, he didn't pay in yet. Right, the Tosefes Ksuba, or the dowry that he entitled her to. So then, when the Shomer Ziyavo comes along, he says, "Well, I'm replacing my brother. You should pay me whatever you'd put out." So we say that no, or whatever you had promised. We say no. That what? That dowries and the payments are unique to the individual that she's marrying. Now, Yibum is an obligation of one brother to the other brother, right? Not an obligation to the woman, right? It's an obligation within the brothers, and therefore that does not automatically entitle him to the same standing with the father-in-law. Okay, poskel achnis lo elef dinar, right? Now this has got to do with assessments, right? If they agree that they're going to bring in 1,000 dinar, meaning that's the dowry, then who posei kenegdam chamesh esrei mono? When he writes it down in the Ksuba, he writes down that they're giving him 1,500 mana, meaning that what he has to return, or for Ksuba's been in Dechrin, if they divorce, That money is now assessed at 1,500. And why is that? Because when he gives him, you know, I mean, their view is, again, this is an interesting view in Chazal, that if you're talking about illiquid investments, if he gives her property, he gives her things metaltalin that are illiquid, right, then they have a certain amount of utility. But that utility is limited because they're in a liquid investment. If you give cash, right, cash all of a sudden has a huge utility because he can then invest that cash and create more profits. So by giving him cash up front, right, he's actually giving him value that's excess, right, the discounted value of the future cash flows, right, from this 1,000 dinar that he gives him is worth so much more, and therefore up front he's going to have to be assessed at a higher value. It's a very interesting view of the Gemara on this. Right, now what happens if they assessed, they were coming in, they're negotiating the dowry, this must, you know, these negotiations were probably very tough negotiations in some instances, right, so now they assessed the value, they said, what, we're going to bring in something. Who posek pachos komesh? He puts in less than a fifth less. He puts in 20% less into the value. Why is that? Because whenever it's, when they're assessing stuff coming into the marriage, you know, to get the, both because he, the bride's family is the one doing the assessing, plus since they want to make the chassan feel good, right, the assessments are going to be above what their true value is. So we have to what? We have to reduce them by 20% to get them back to the, get the excess out of that valuation. That's one issue. Rashi brings the second issue down, which is that if you bring in metaltalin or other items that you bring in, they wear. There's wear and tear on them. So if you're going to bring in a certain amount of property or value that are metaltalin, they have to, by the time he's going to pay back for those properties, they have depreciated in value. So the Gemara is now taking out that depreciated value up front because he has to pay him back. So those are two things. You look in Rashi, very interesting. Two points that Rashi makes.
Is the Chumash because the Chumash that Mekachto, so they, that when people overshoot, they're going to
not have to pay more? Yeah, that's interesting. Right. That's an interesting question about Chumash. The Gemara doesn't say that.
Maybe they don't. It's part of human nature. And also, halachically, they're not going to overshoot by 20% because it's a Mekachto.
Right, 20% is within the reasonable.
And it comes to Mekachto, maybe.
After that point. That's interesting. Right. I don't know if that's. But a Chumash is generally a. In the Torah itself, it's when you go, when someone goes to redeem their own Meisr Sheni, or when it's going on the Kodesh, they have to be Mosif Chomesh. Mm-hmm. That same idea, this Chomesh is a, but it could be that it's the same Chomesh that we're talking about by Ona. All right, so that's a nice point. So look in Rashi, Shumba Mana, we're going to just see, sorry, we should finish the next line. The Mishnah, Shumba Mana, Vishava Mana, Eno Ela Mana. Okay, where is this Rashi? Okay, sorry, it's Rashi above that. Keneged Hashum. Rashi Keneged Hashum. If you go across from where it says Mishnah in the Gemara and just go up, there's a Rashi Keneged Hashum. Keneged Hashum. Im ba chatan lichtov kabbalah alav. Right, if he's going to put a receipt for it. Keneged elav dinar shel shum. For the 1,000 dinar that are being brought in. Shetaganes lo begadim or kelim. Amishdamshim behem. Vein pochtin. Right now, if he brings those in, right, instead of bringing in 1,000 dinar in cash, he's giving them 1,000 worth of value, meaning in clothing and items, right? So amishtam shemim that are used, right? Behem pochtin, right? And therefore what? They decrease in value, they depreciate. O prakmatya, right? And, or, you know, his stuff that he's gonna sell, that also, meaning goes down in value. That doesn't have a fixed value. We've seen that earlier, that metaltalim don't have a fixed value, they can move around. But derech hanoadim, and the people who are around when the negotiations are going on tend to exaggerate. You know, I don't know if it's the shadchan or whoever it is, exaggerates the value of what's being brought into the dowry. Right? There's they're trying to make the shidduch go through, so they're trying to make it sound like everything's great. Right? They enhance and embellish, right, that which is going on. So therefore, to give, make the kala feel good and the chasim feel good. So therefore, what we say, take it down by a 20% in order to get it back to its true value. So there would be nafkaminot in this area because Rashi gives those two reasons. One is, you know, I mean, if there's exaggeration, and number two is because of the depreciated value. We know, I mean, that we get expert valuations here, and we know what the true value is. Maybe the 20% still comes in because of depreciation versus. Right, if it's simply
a valuation.
Right. Right. Well, no. Here, they're now today. They would give the valuation of today, right?
Yeah,
which is
the
new properties.
It would cover both. It would cover the depreciation and the.
Well, they're not. They will only be depreciated in the future. So you'd have to ask them. Yeah, he's giving them right. He's giving them up front. He's giving them new stuff. But the problem is that in the future, when he has to pay it back to the woman if he divorces her,
no time sensitive.
Right. Right. That's. I mean, right.
The Gemara does 50% before.
Right. It's interesting. Right. Again, the 20%. Why? You know, because it would if he divorces in a week versus if he divorces her in 10 years from now. Right. There's obviously a difference in the depreciated value. What happens if they assess it at 100 and it's really worth 100? I mean, that's like our case here. Then when he goes to claim it back or when he's getting his dowry, wrapping the dowry, then he's only entitled to what? 100. That's the way Rashi reads this Mishnah. Tosfos tell the Rishonim read the Mishnah differently. They read it. If he writes in the Ksuba that whatever it was worth 100, it was we assessed it at 100 and it's worth 100, then he can't claim later on that I should get my 20% discount. I mean that if he writes Shumbamana, if they wrote it was assessed at 100, then they get him he gets a 20% discount because that's the whole idea that it was assessed at 100 means what? That it was over assessed or that the depreciation wasn't taken out. But if he writes in the Ksuba, the other Rishonim suggests what? Shumana. It's assessed at 100. Vishavamana. And he accepts that as the value at 100. Then that becomes the value of the item. And he can't go later on, come back and claim his 20%. That's what Rashi says. That the only time we say that there's excess value is when you're in the house of the Chasanim. And then when the whole negotiation is going on. But if you come later on and want to say that what? Oh, now he wants to take his 20% off. He can't do it. That's the way Rashi learns it. The other Rishonim learned, no, that's what was written in the Ksuba, and therefore he can't, that means he accepted it as that value. I mean, Shumbamana, Bishavamana means that he accepted the value of the assessment, and they can't go back on it. All right. Shumbamana, if it's assessed at 100, meaning that they write in the Ksuba that there's an assessment of 100 she has to bring in. He no tenet, Shoshimbechad Selah B'dinar. She has to bring in 125. What is 125? A Selah, right, is 4 dinar. A seller is worth 4 dinar. So 4 times 31 is 124. Plus a dinar is 125. So if they wrote in the Ksuba that the value is 100, he has to bring in 125. She has to bring in 125. Why? Because 20% of 125, right, would be a fifth of 125 would be 25, would get you back to your 100. So she has to bring in 125 to get back to her 100 that is assessed there. Okay? Uba arba meot hitanes chameshmot. If they say it was 400, she's got to put in 500, so that the 500 minus 20% gets back to the 400 that's written in the ksuba. Ma sheachatan posek who posek pochas mechomesh. Right. So if whatever the chasan is posek, they take that out a minus a fifth minus to 20%. So now, first of all, the Gemara's going to have to deal with it. It seems like
it's strange, isn't it?
Yeah, the Mishnah's just repeating like all these same cases.
Because it was only it was mistakes. Now it became like halacha that she has to actually give 20% more.
Right.
Before we said it was just because the valuation was more. Now you're saying she actually has to bring that.
She has to bring in that value. Right. If they wrote in 100 in the value, because what they're going to say, no, because they're going to say is that putting in 100 in the ksuba, right? Then when she brings in the stuff, they're going to over-assess the stuff she's bringing in to 125. She's going to bring in 100 worth of value, and they're going to say it's 125. So she has to bring in 125 of overvalued stuff, which is really worth 100. I mean, I think that's what the question is saying.
Right. It sounds like that, you know, you have to bring a real 125.
Right, so that's it. Now, the Gemara has to deal with the fact that the Mishnah just repeated like 4 or 5 different cases of this 20%. What's the difference in all these cases? Why does it have to go through so many cases? I'll just note here that Rashi, if you look at Rashi, Masha Chatam Posek, Ku Posek Pachum Skonesh, Rashi says, right, the two different cases have to do with when was the assessment made? Meaning that did they bring in the stuff already assessed, and then what do we write in the ksuba? Or do we write the amount in the ksuba, and then what do you have to then what's it assessed at? Meaning that was what you were asking about. But that's the case is when was the assessment done? After it was written into the ksuba, or it was brought in, and then we're writing it into the ksuba. So the 20% Rashi says that the 20% applies in both of these cases. But Tosfos and some of the other Rishonim learned that no, that what it says about the chasan that both the chasan and kala are bringing monetary value into the marriage, meaning that she's bringing a dowry and he has mostly from the ksuba, the hosaf is ksuba. And so Tosfos says here, but the chasan that we also say that the evaluation that they're assessing the chasan stuff that he's bringing in is also overvalued by 20%, just like the Kala stuff. So that we don't say it's just the Kala stuff that's overvalued, but even when the Chassan, if he says I'm bringing in an extra 100 dinar, then he's got to bring in 125 worth of assessed value because they also overvalue the Chassan's property. So they say it's a two-way street. It's not just about the Kala side. Tarabonan, Ein Tzarech Lomar Rishon Tomer Chacham Hasheni Yom Aretz. So this is the case. What? That the father-in-law can say, I'm not giving the dowry now when she does Yibum. You can't say the first one can say what? The first one was a Talmud Chacham, you're an Amaretz, I'm not giving it. But even the other way around. Elafir Rishon Amaretz, V'sheni Talmud Chacham, Yilch Amar, Achicha Iti Rotze. I liked your brother, Litein Lacha, Yef Shi Litein. Right? But to give you, that's not my intention. So that doesn't matter that if the stature of the individual is gone down, and therefore he doesn't want to give it, but even if the stature would have gone up in other people's eyes, it's a personal thing. How much dowry is given and how well he gets along with that son-in-law has to do with how much he's willing to pay into the dowry, and therefore he's allowed to say, I'm not paying into the dowry unless it was this individual. Right? Poskol achnis noel of dinar, hainu ratio, that's what Gemara says, well, already you came up with numerous cases. So Gemara says, tana shuma rabo, b'tani shuma zuto. So what? We talked about what shuma rabo. A great shuma, meaning that a high valuation. Then we talked about shuma zuto, small valuation. Maybe you would think what that the overvaluation only happens when you bring in large amounts, right? Make a thousand, wow, that's a huge amount. Or if you bring in 1,000 dinar for business, that we put in a third on top of that. Why? Because he can make a lot of money with that if you give him a huge investment. Whereas if you give him a small amount of money, he still has the same cost to do the investment, and it's going to come out of his profit. So he's not as profitable. So maybe you shouldn't add on a third. Also, what if you give them, maybe they overvalue it when it's a small item that they're bringing in because they want to make it sound bigger. But if it's already a big item, they don't need to overvalue it because it's already big, right? Or the other way around, it's big, they want to, they're like, wow, it's just so big, and they overvalue it versus a small item. There's no mistake in valuing a small item. So again, the Mishnah gave examples of, big numbers and small numbers. So that only takes care of half the cases. We came out with 4 cases there. So that takes care of 2 of the cases. What about the other stuff? So the Tana Shumati Day, Tani Shumati Do. Right, so it talks about their assessment and his assessment. Okay, according to Rashi, that means what? That depending, her assessment means they already brought the property in and assessed it, and he wants to write it in the ksuba. So then he takes the 20% off, and then Shumati Do would be that what? He already wrote into the ksuba, how much do they have to value her stuff at? So those are the 2 cases. According to Tosfos, the 2 cases will be, what? Who's bringing in the extra money? Meaning that if she's bringing in the excess, it applies to her. Tosfos says if he's bringing in the excess, or he's bringing in like Tosefes ksuba, his assessment's also overvalued at 20%, so it applies to both of them. And that'll get you the 4 cases in the Mishnah, because you'll have Shuma Zuter Shuma Rabba for each of these 2 cases, one for him and one for her. So that's one. All right, next Mishnah. Paskol achnis lo ksofim. Right? Sala nasa shisha darim. So if he said he's going to bring in a sela, how much is a sela? If the father-in-law is going to give him a sela worth of money, right? How much is a sela? Sela is 4 dinar, right? A sela is 4 dinar. Nasa shisha dinarim. Then it's going to come 6 dinar, okay? Because he had to add on a third. Right, so to get on to a third, which is really a 50% increase. If you add on 50%, then the extra 2 dinar is 1/3 now of the total value. So he's adding on a third. Achata mekabel of asar dinar im the kupa l'chol mana v'mana. For every 100 mana for every 100 zuz that you bring in that is paid into the dowry, 10% of that is, now they have all these credit cards where you get cash back when you spend money. So this is the same thing here. For every 100 zuz that the father-in-law puts into the dowry, he's entitled to a 10% kickback for his daughter. His daughter is entitled to 10% of that value for her kupa, meaning for her, we'll see what a kupa is, but for her own usage, meaning 10% of that value goes back to her. That has to do with the minhag medina. There's no fixed value of what she's entitled to. So,
10% of the actual, 10% of the future value.
Good question. The Gemara is going to deal with that. Good question of what the question. I know posei kenegdan. All right. So didn't we just have that in our Mishnah before, which says if you brought in 1,000 dinar, you assess it at 1,500. So what do you have to explain to me? A sela comes into 6 dinar again. The Gemara says. Tano iska rabo, tano iska zuto. So I think I explained it above, but also the idea that right, your amount of your amount of hotzos are always the same for the investment. If he gives him less money or more money, so therefore maybe the percentage should be lower or higher. And same thing the other way around. I mean, if you give him a lot of money, he's got to make more investments. So maybe it takes more effort. He should get less. You know, they should assess it at a lesser value. But if he just gives him a small amount of money, that's easy to invest and make money on. So either way, b'tzricha. Because if you gave him a big amount of cash, then he can make a lot of money. But if you gave him a small amount of money, that he just makes a small profit, aim low, that you wouldn't assess it at a higher value. If he'd only told me about a smaller amount of investment, that the amount of effort that you have to expend to invest that smaller amount is limited. You have to hire shomrim, you have to do multiple investments. It's going to take more effort. Aim low that you don't assess it at the higher value. Tzricha. So in both these cases, they get the 50% increase, or meaning one third above the stated value. All right. So now, achatam mekabel levasar dina the kupa. My kupa. What's his entitlement to kupa? Amar Ravashi kupa shel b'samim. That's her perfume. She gets a 10% allowance for her perfume. So. This is only said in Yerushalayim. Alright, so now, here you go, your question. By Rav Ashi, just an interesting note that the Gemara says in Yoma, I remember for that, Yoma, the Gemara in Yoma says that women, the Kalot, did not have to be mispasim in Yerushalayim because of the Reach HaKetores. Right, so they never had to be mispasim. So why is it that was the minhag in Yerushalayim? The only place the minhag was to give her psamim was in Yerushalayim, but you already smelled like a Reach HaKetores. So Tosfos over here asks the question. He says, oh, that's only for the smell. So she doesn't need the perfume, but she still needs all the creams. So listen to this. That's great. Veltzricha ayu lekupa shel b'samim la'dena basar. She needs the moisturizing creams, the sira seirar, right, and the hair removal, or the pasheta kmatim, and to straighten out the wrinkles, right? I mean, I don't know. Kmatim really are used in the Gemara as folds, right? In the body. Right, exactly. So that, even though the kupa of the sami, she didn't need the aromatic side of the basket. She still needed the other moisturizing creams and all the other stuff that they need, that women look to. So it's interesting, interesting tosfos that it still rings true today. All right. So now, by Rav Ashi, b'mana nishom b'mana miskabel. Okay, so this is your question. Is it on the assessed value or on the received value? Does he pay out 10% of the received 100, so 10 dinar, or does he pay out 100 out of the 150 dinar, that does he pay out 15 dinar? I mean, it's really 15% of the assessed value. Same thing, so low money to mekabel. Now, the Gemara does not address this. Generally, Imtim Tzolomar, when the Gemara ends up in a teiku, a lot of Rishonim believe that the teiku applies to everything that the Gemara says. The Rambam has an unusual shita that when the Gemara says Imtim Tzolomar, means the Gemara has concluded that's that side, and now it's moving on to assess the next problem, and the teiku only applies the last time. So you'll see that many times in the Gemara, that the Rambam says Imtim Tzolomar, you'll see that the in Mishpat has letters there for the Rambam, that it's halacha, 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 when it's Imtim Tzolomar. Here, it's not really a halachic issue. This is really a kol minhagi medina, really, but just saying that's just generally now when we see Imtim Tzolomar, because Tosfos over here, when it says Imtim Tzolomar, I'm Tosfos, other Rishonim say Imtim Tzolomar, meaning that they could have gone the other way. They could have equally gone either way, it's just they picked one side. But when the Rambam says no, when the Gemara says Imtim Tzolomar, it means that they wanted to go this way, and that's why they did it. So Imtim Tzolomar, Monam, it's Kabel, it's got to do with how much you received, Yom Rishon, Oko Yom V'Yom. They should get everything on the first day of the week. And then what? Does he have to give her, each day of the week, he's got to pay her out. Right? Imtim Tzolomar kol yom v'yom. Right? If he has to give her every day, Shabbos Rishon, that's only for the first week of his marriage, or kol Shabbos and Shabbos, or every week. Imtim Tzolomar kol Shabbos, every week of his marriage, Chodesh Rishon, that's only for the first month, or kol Chodesh v'chodesh, right? Again, the reason by Akala, right, there would be reason that Akala has a special status during each of these time periods, both in the first day, the first 7 days, and on the first day, the kala, right, by the chuppah, by the first 7 days of Sheva Brachas, the first 30 days, we have, by Yom Kippur. The kala is allowed to wash her face, punim, we give her a special status during the first 30 days, she looks like Skana Abala, and then Shana Rishona also. So that's where it's going through sequentially all these items, meaning that her entitlement to this is that because of her special status during this period of time, Or is that a status for her that she's entitled to forever? I mean, you tell her kol chodesh v'chodesh shana v'shana, or kol shana v'shana, or every year, teku.
The same amount of money,
it's just
how you break it up, right? It's not like
so that's a good question, right? Because otherwise, the guy...
Crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, right, that has to be the case. If you look, very good. That's a good question.
It doesn't make any sense. Right.
Within 10 months, he'd be done, or 10 days, he'd be out of...
He'd be not taking money.
Exactly. Very good. So that's exactly what it said. Here, so this is it. If you look at Tosfos, Ella, right across from where we are in the Gemara, Ella and Tosfos. Ella vaday nira the esed dinar itein la lechol mono litkashet the olam. And the question, that's 10% is the number. That's the number, 10 dinar. Now the only question in the Gemara is, if you violate im itein la bevada achas, does he give the whole 10 dinar up front, v'itishmenu, and then she has to take care of it? Or if you skip down to the last line of Tosfos, lo itein la bevada achas, look at the kedusha leyom. And he'll only give her what she needs each day until he hits that limit of 10. I mean, does he give her what she needs each day, and then when it reaches up to the value that he's supposed to give her, that's it, he's gone? Or do we say he gives the whole money up front, and she can spend it the way she wants? I mean, at her own pace, at her own rate, she can spend it. So that's the question, but that would address your question, which is, right, he's not paying her 10% each day. The question is about how to pay it out versus not the amount. The amount is fixed at 10%, right? Or 15%, really, depending on now, because if you go after Nishamar or
Miskel. Although the last question, Shana Rishona or Kol Shana Rishona, that you can understand differently. You know, is it, all the other ones you can understand, let's say, within the course of a year, right. So that's the total amount.
Right.
But if he's paying 10%, the assumption is he's getting, he's getting 100 dinar, he can invest that, and he's going to get a return on it.
Right.
So from that return, he's paying her 10 dinar.
Right.
You could
argue that, but that could come up.
You know what I'm saying? You could understand that every year he has to give her 10 dinar, for her.
Right, but that would come out in the front, meaning that if you assessed it based on the 10%, whether it's off of the 100 or off the 150, meaning because if it's off the 150, then they've already assessed the future value of his profits into the amount.
You can't have it both
ways. Right, you can't have it be assessed at the higher value and then tell him he's got to pay that.
Plus, it goes into the amount. The year by year is the last one. It goes into the day after the week. So you have to already solve the problem before that.
So I don't know. I hear what you're saying, because like a year, to give her all the money up front for like the rest of her life sounds like a big number. Although the numbers are big here, so that's it. We'll see in a second. The numbers are pretty big. All right. So I'm gonna review the Marav. Maise bebito shel Nakdimun ben Gurion. We have a case of the daughter of Nakdimun ben Gurion. I'm just gonna point out here because Tzvi mentioned to me yesterday when I was. When I explained the case yesterday, we had a case yesterday where it was Kalato Shel Nakdimun Ben Gurion, his daughter-in-law, right? And they assessed her Tzatayim Yayin. They assessed her two saw of Yayin, and she says, Keini Tan Lebenotechem, that your daughter should also get that, right? V'lo Anu Acharei Amein. They didn't answer Amein to her. Because why? Because she was a Shomer Tziyavon. So I explained to Gemara that it was Roi to say Amein on it, right? But because the bracha was, it was a large amount, but they didn't want to do it because of the circumstances that she was in. So that's the way I'd explain the Gemara, and I just explained it based on today's Gemara, which sounds very similar to that. But, and Tzvi pointed out to me that the Marshal learns differently in that Gemara, because based on the Yerushalmi. So I'll read you the Yerushalmi, but just keep it in mind here, when we read this Gemara, I'm going to read you a couple of things. First of all, that here it says, Bito Shel Nakdimun Ben Gurion, there it said Kalato. But that is not clear in other readings of the Gemara. You can see from a question of Tosfos that it's not clear exactly what the case is over here. And I think that will influence how you learned the Gemara, yesterday's Gemara. So the way the Maharshal learned yesterday's Gemara was when they gave her Satayim Yayin, she thought they were underpaying her, meaning that they weren't giving her enough. So she sarcastically said, your daughter should get this amount. And the Chachamim were going to say Amen because they thought it was a lot already. So they were going to say Amen, but they didn't say Amen because she was a Shomer Zyabo. They should have answered Amen. I think it's a more convoluted reading of that Gemara, but he's very influenced by the Yerushalmi. I'll read the Yerushalmi in a second and see why he's influenced by it. All right, but just keep it in mind as we read the case over here.
The Tosfos, the Amrishon, in terms of the long-range payments that he has to the end of the day, he says, until the amount, the percentage that he has to give is used up,
But that doesn't come out of that dowry amount, right?
He still has to, he has to maintain her in the manner in which she has become accustomed, right, or which she would like to become accustomed.
Right. I should have pointed out. Thank you. That's a good show. That when Tosfos is saying that, he's saying that's just the amount, the component that's coming out of her dowry. That's not the component where he's chayev. He's obligated to take care of her and to hold her standard of living and what he's obligated to give her. So thank you. Yeah, that is true. All right. So in this case, Bito shel Nagdim ben Gurion, she paskla chamim 400 zuvim. They gave her 400 zuvim, the kupa shel besam in the bo bayom for that day. So bo bayom, it's hard to understand how every day she was getting 400 gold coins for her kupa shel besam. Sounds more like it was what that they gave her a one-time payment that she was going to use for a kupa besam. Although why they say bo bayom? All right, Amar lahem kach tifsku lepnoteichem. This should be the same way for your daughter should get the same amount. And here they answer amen to her. So I would know two things. One, it's bito, right? And number two is that it's what? She's not a shomer ziyabam here. Okay, so that's one. So if you go to the Tosefta, that's interesting. The Tosefta, I'll point to, all right, let's start with the Tosefta. So Tosefta's over here asks a question, that based on the amount of money that her father's house had, we're going to see in a second how much the dowry was, that was less than 10% of the dowry. So Tosfos says, how do they give her less than 10% of the dowry? So I would not, Tosfos does this in other places where he takes the numbers very literally and he's trying to assess them. If you were to ask me what it meant, 400, 400 is a large number. Mm-hmm. There's many times in Tanakh, you have 400 is a large number. You have Esav shows up with 400 men. Avram pays 400 shekel over the socher, right? How long are Bnei Yisrael, Brit's been Abtarim? How long are they going to be in Mitzrayim? 400 years. 400 is a number that's used when you're talking about a large number that, just beyond people's garments. A big number is 400. So they say 400, they're just talking about a big number. I wouldn't have taken it as an exact number. Number two is that later on now, in the Gemara in a second, it's going to say Elif Alfei Dinarim, that it gave her 1,000 times 1,000, which is a million dinarim into her ksuba. My assumption was that's not the real number. That's just it was a huge dowry. That's what they're pointing out. But Tosfos here takes it very literally. Okay? And the other thing I point out, Tosfos is what? It says, the Tosef over here says, "Bebito shel nakdim yom gumrayon, shepaskul chamin chamesh meil dinarei zahav b'chol yom." Here it says 500 in the Tosefta, not 400. So I would say, again, see, to me, it leans towards it being just a large number, not an exact number. Right? And then, amar lahem kach titnu lebnoteichem, and then here, I'm sorry, api kilula utam. She cursed them. Amar lahem kach titnu lebnoteichem. She cursed them and says, you should give this to your daughters. Me, that wasn't enough. All right, that wasn't enough, and then they went. They didn't answer over here. It doesn't have the amen aspect to it, but they didn't answer over here. There's no answer to the Tosefta. So you see what that they thought this reasoning the same way that Marshall did the other Gemara, that this was she was being a little bit sarcastic about. Oh, this your daughter should get because she was not impressed by the amount that they gave her for Kupa Shov Summit. I will point out Tosus. Listen, there's a Tosus over here. Vanu Achreal Main, look at the last Tosfos. Vanu Achreal Main. Lamala lo Anu Achreal. Right above the Gemara we did yesterday, they didn't answer Amen to her. Shaloya Bala Chai, because over there her husband had passed away. Abakan Shaya Chai Anu Achreal Main. But over here, because her husband was alive, right, they answered Amen. Ubala Itila Chamim Shifsukullah, and her husband asked for the Chamim to give her the random amount. So now, I don't know if Tosfos, meaning that it was easy to separate between the cases. One was the daughter-in-law, and one was the daughter. Right, so I don't know why Tosfos has to say over here they answered amen, over there they didn't answer amen. It's two different people, right? The cases are totally different. So there she was a shomer ziyabam, over here she wasn't a shomer ziyabam. But I don't know, almost from Tosfos it seems like he thinks it was the same person, right? It was both the same person. And he has to explain why over there they didn't answer amen, over here they did answer amen for the same person. Over here she said, because her husband's alive. I know, it's interesting. So I'll just read you the Yerushalmi. By the way,
so what are they, if her husband's like, what are they ruling on his obligation, how much he
He said, you take care of how much, what we did yesterday, there's a mashra leishto, when it was, he's not keeping his wife in the house, he's paying her out, saying, how much is he in there, or he was traveling, and she wants to get money from the estate, which she's entitled to, when he's traveling, then she can't get it.
It seems that Tosfos here is focusing on the fact that the aspect of the Baal being alive, not that she's a Shomer Yavam or not, but it has to do with why she got an amount that satisfied her here that caused her.
But Tosfos is addressing the Amein aspect. Why did they answer Amein right here and so not Amein there?
So here she was being mevarich them because her husband made sure she got the right amount. So she said, give me a good amount. And your daughter should get this. They said,
Based and gave her the right amount. Right.
So, but back there, because her husband wasn't around to protect her interests, so they weren't posting her enough money, and there she cursed them.
Right. But then Tosus is assuming, which it's not clear to me, that it's the same person. He's trying to explain why there's a difference between these two cases, right?
Why do we have to say that Tosus is saying it's the same person?
It doesn't have to, but it sounds like the fact that he's trying to reconcile the two cases, right?
Otherwise, why would...
Well, otherwise, he could have just answered it. All right, that's his daughter-in-law, and she answered this way, and this is the daughter, and that was enough for the... You know what I mean? Like, it's easy to separate when it's two different people. I'm not saying... it's not Mukhrah, that's what Tosus thinks. I'm just saying that Tosus uses that answer when it could have been simply, these are two different cases over here. Right, I'll just read you the Shalmi. This is all, you know, the Hadil Torviyot there. Again, there's no nafkamin. I'm just pointing out that how it's interesting how a single story, right now we've already seen at least two versions of a story in the Tosefta. We see a version of the story. Now you have Yerushalmi who has, again, it's a very similar story, but it's taken off. Remember yesterday that we were talking about wine for a woman, right? So then the Gemara says that a woman's entitled to wine because to get wine because when she nurses, wine's good for the challah. So that's what happened here. So this, the case is here, that's the mice over here in the Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi answers a little differently. Mice b'marta bat baitus. Shepaskalo chachamim satayim yayin b'chol yom. Right, so that they gave her two saw of yayin for each day. So over in the Yerushalmi, it sounds like, the Yerushalmi goes through a bunch of question and answers. It sounds like they gave it to her because she was nursing. Right? And who Marta by Baitus was, now I'm not sure if that is the same as his daughter-in-law of Nachdima ben Gurion, this Marta by Baitus, but there the Gemara here has the Marta by Baitus as the person in the case. So then at the end it says, now, and Rav Shiza says, after Tavshila Pasku, that they also gave it for her cooking. And she thought it wasn't enough because they gave it for nursing, and she felt she should get more wine for the cooking and everything like that. Al Valpikain, Kilautam. She cursed them. So again, that reads like this Marshal, that what it was a negative statement. V'amar lahem, kach nitinu lebnoteichem. Amar Rabbi Acha, listen to this, the Yerushalmi. V'aninu acharei amen. We answered amen to her. So it's like the Marsha who says, what, she was sarcastic? But they answered amen in this case. So that's the case of Marta bat Baitus, who's, let's assume it's the daughter-in-law, I don't know if it is. And yet, what? They answered amen to the case. So Amar Rabbi Sadak, Ereb, and Acham, Alvita, it's not the case.
She's the one in the Gemara, in the Council of Council Gemara, who went out, was sent out for flour, and they came back, and they didn't have each time, and then eventually she went out, and right. And she was so delicate that when her feet touched the ground outside,
she died.
Yeah. She was not used to... So it was
That's a Hanago Bekha. That's what they darshan in the Mikil Seichel, Hanago Bekha. Something I can't remember the last part of that positive that even the most delicate of you passed away. I don't know if is that about Marta Bavaitus? I don't remember. Daktiman Bumurion is also found in that Gemara. We'll see in a second. Batani, listen to this next case in Yerushalmi. Batani, Maisib Miriam, Bito Shel Shimon Ben Gurion. Shimon Ben Gurion was probably his name, right? We discussed this yesterday, but Naktimon was the Gemara in Tana says because Nachtimalo Achama, the Chama stopped for him. So that was either his nickname or probably his real name was maybe Naktimon or. Maybe he had taken on at that time some sort of either Greek or Roman name. So here they have 500. Now all of a sudden, who's the Shomeres Yavam? The daughter, not the daughter-in-law. All right. So she cursed them, meaning that she said sarcastic. Right? So now, again, our Gemara over here says it was the daughter. She was not a Shomeres Yavam, and what? They answered a mate. Then, Amar Abacha v'aninu acharei amen. And they answer a mate again. Just a note. I mean, just interesting here. You have a daughter, a daughter-in-law. You have a Shomeres Yavam, and you have a Kupas Besamim, 4,500. You look in the Yerushalmi, the Tosefta, and here you find that the stories are, different, have a little different nuances in each one. And just interesting to look at, to see how the Mesorah worked because of these stories. All right, now next. These are very famous story. He's leaving Yerushalayim. This obviously can't be the first time he's leaving Yerushalayim. When the first time he left Yerushalayim was to go speak to Vespasian, right? So he had left Yerushalayim already. So it must have been that he had returned after the Churban, and now he's leaving Yerushalayim again. Right? He saw a young lady that was collecting barley seeds from the dung of a Arab's behemoth. Soon as she saw them, she wrapped herself up with her hair. She comes out, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, please take care of me. Amrallah, biti mi'at, who are you? Amrallah, she said to him, bat Nachdimon ben Gurion ani. I'm the daughter of Nachdimon ben Gurion. Just to get a sense, Nachdimon ben Gurion was one of the three rich people of Yerushalayim. And it says there in the Gemara in Gittin that what? The three of them, those three people could have supported Yerushalayim for like 20 years. Meaning that they were able to, they had so much money and stored up in Yerushalayim that they could have stayed under siege for 20 years and not broken down, except that what? The Bar Yonim burnt down their stuff. Right? Amar la biti mamon shel beit avi chechan alach. Where's all the money? Where's all your father's money? So Amar lo Rebbe, lo kedein matlin matla b'Yerushalayim. Don't they have this much on Yerushalayim? Melech mamon chaser. Right? Melech mamon chaser. What does that mean? So Rashi gives Rashi gives one interpretation. The Rashi gives another one. Arotze limloch memono. One who wants to preserve his money. Klomar the gross lo sheit kayim. So he wants to keep it to go on. Yachserenu letztaka. Right. The way to keep your money is to pay it out to tztaka. Vechisru no zehu kiyumo. And that which is lost, right? So melech mamon. You want melech, which was a preservative in there. That was equivalent to refrigeration in their day, right? Chaser. Right, that's how Melech Mamon. If you want to preserve your money, pay it out to tztaka. Right, or the other way around. The Marshal learns around the other way. That what? that if you want to, if you give tztaka, right, then that chisaron, the mamon chaser, is the melech. Meaning that the tztaka that you give is the preservative. Right, that's the way you could have learned it. Now, the Rashi learns that what? If you pay out tztaka, then your money will stay. Right, but here, the way the Marshal learns it is that melach, what is the salt? It is the mamon chaser. The tztaka that you're giving is the salt that you're getting. That is the preservative. Okay, same idea. That's a nuance, not a difference. Amar lo chesed, some people say it was the chesed, if you do chesed with your money, not just give tztaka. So you have to say that what, even though the Bar Yonim burnt down his storehouses, he still had other money. And that money was all lost because they didn't give tztaka. So, Beit Chamich Heichanhu. So, where's your father-in-law? She had a very rich father-in-law as well. Where's your father-in-law's money? Amrlo, Bozev Ibedidze. I mean, once they mixed the money into the same pot, it all went. It all went because of this. Amrlo, Rabbi Zochor Ato Shechatamta Ktubasi. Do you remember, Rabbi Yochum Tzaka, you signed my ksuva? I remember Shechadamti al Ktubadash al Zuba, Iti Koreba Elef Alofim Dinrei Zahav. Right? A thousand, Elef Alofim, thousands and thousands, I don't know, million Dinrei Zahav. Right? This is where Tosfos asked the question that her kupa wasn't 10%. Again, I think exaggeration, right? That was just from her father's house. That didn't include what she got from her father in law. Bocho Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai v'omar, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai starts to cry, Ashreichem Yisrael. When they do what Hashem wants, nobody can touch them. They get put into the hands of the Uma Shfela. Right, what's that? Not even to this, depraved or awful nation, but even to their animals. So that it's not, when they fall to the lowest of the low. But again, that's generally an idea. Rashi says over here, Arvayim kari uma shvela sheshochni olim heim bamidbar. They're like nomads in the desert. I mean, that they don't really have cities and places. Sounds like almost like a Bedouin type of description here. Arvayim, and generally in the Gemara, is used as a merchant, a traveling merchant. Merchants that traveled around, as the Gemara will say, but like when Rabbi... The Gemara is in Baba Batra of Rabbi Hanina, right there. Over there it says that he keeps pogeba Rabbi Echad. He keeps bumping into his RV. It sounds like a merchant, like this movie merchant. But anyway, the idea again that what? That when you're high up, you fall. Meaning that, like the same thing as Kedusha and Tumah, right? That something that is more Kadosh, when it's missing its Kedusha or its Kedusha is lacking, it has a higher level of Tumah. Same thing here. Someone can reach a higher level, right, if they fall, when they fall, that fall is much greater, meaning that they're going to fall to a lower low in the sense that they are Chofei HaShemayim. That's really, I think, the whole point. I want to spend a lot of time on that. The whole point of Eicha. The whole point of Eicha is really what Eicha, right? Eicha Nafla, Ayeka, what's happened to you, meaning that Eicha is all the extreme. I mean, how great was this nation, and look how far they've fallen. Look how the difference, meaning that you have to, it's a contrast. Right? It's a whole study, it's the whole idea of Eicha is contrasting that which took place when it was great, and now what the situation is. And that contrast is what makes it so painful in Eicha. And that's what it's pointing out, that, you know, look how far you've fallen because of where you were once before. And now we have to look back. All right, we'll try to finish this up. Nakdim ben Gurion lo avad tztaka? Rav Gurion really did do tztaka? Va'atan, you have a brisa. Amar lo avad nakdim ben Gurion mishaya yotze mi beitu le beis ha-medrash. When he used to go from his house to the beis ha-medrash, kli milat, ayu matzien tachtav. they used to put out, some sort of expensive either felt or silk clothing underneath his feet, right? In order to, and he used to leave it. It was his way of giving tzedakah. And he used to put out the red carpet and leave the red carpet so the aniyim could come and pick it up so that they would get their stuff coming to macharav. Some people said no, that he did it for only, that he wanted that big kovel. So yeah, he ended up doing stucco with it, but it was for his own kovel. Right, that he didn't do what the man of stucco he should have done. That the load of the gamal goes according to the size of the gamal, how much he can carry. So it's an important thing. I won't finish up. We'll finish up tomorrow. Very, very important marsha over here. Just wanted to read it to you because it's an amazing marsha. So you see the two things are what? A person shouldn't do for their own kavod when it comes to tzedakah. Number one, because that's not considered real tzedakah. And number two is what you have to give, what you have the means to give. So listen to this marsha. It's an unbelievable marsha. Rabin bedorazeh. There are a lot of people here today that make money, not in an honest way, and with the chilul Hashem, they steal from the non-Jews. That they cheat them, they trick them, they steal the non-Jews. Then they go and donate the money to the shul or do something there, they get a kavod out of it. To get the mishaberach and shul. The olahem shem v'tiferes, to get the kavod. Vein ze ela mitzvah baba aveira. This is a mitzvah baba aveira. Vein lo sher ze melech bekiyum. This has no melech and kiyum. Exactly our gemara. Because what? They're doing it lechvodam. They're doing it for their own kavod. And number two, it didn't come to them in an honest way. It's a mitzvah baba aveira. Called them rahacha. And he says over here, and it's a very famous smag in the mitzvah of Ashavas Aveda. Over there, he talks about the fact that the gemara says that you don't have to be meshiv aveda ben ovid kochavim. And the smag over there says that it's important that Jews act honestly and above the lifnei mishur hazadin, they do return to the kovei kachavim, because when Mashiach comes and he redeems the Jews, the non-Jews are going to look at the Jews and say, they're going to reflect on who Hashem has taken as his nation. So if they were honest and lifnei mishur hazadin and they acted appropriately, they'll go, ma na'im, why did Hashem pick this nation? Of course it makes sense that Mashiach came and took this nation. But if they're going to steal and cheat the non-Jews, even though from some of the gemaras it sounds like you can or you can do some tzeila, right? Nevertheless, what? He says if that happens and then the Mashiach comes and he takes his nation, he's going, what type of robbers and thieves did he take as his nation? So this idea that you have to, right, you have to act honestly and appropriately. And number two is that, right, just because you give tzedakah doesn't justify the means by which one got the tzedakah. And you have to give tzedakah according to one's means and not for their own kavod.